Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word this morning? Yes, me too. Amen. God has some things to share with us this morning. I'm interested in the word. How about you? Yes. Why don't you open with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 13:1. 2 Corinthians 13:1. And we will see what the Holy Ghost has to say to us this morning concerning the power of our words. Amen. And you know, what you say on purpose and what you don't say on purpose matters, right? And so we know our words have power, whether we said them at work or we said them at the doctor's office or at the mall or at the grocery store versus our prayer closet. Our words have power regardless where we are, right? So you can't just think, well, I only intended the words in my prayer closet to come to pass. Those are the ones I wanted to count, God, you know. No, our words count regardless where we say them and when we say them, right? He hears everything we say. And so, you know, if you're in your daily life and to your spouse, you know, I'm so tired of being broke all the time. And then you go to your prayer closet and you say, my God shall supply all my needs. Well, listen, you're not going to see God supplying all your needs saying you're broke, right? And listen to this. How much time do you spend in your normal life versus your prayer closet, right? So if you're saying the wrong thing a whole lot more than you're saying the right thing, it's working against you. And the devil doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know that your words in the grocery store, the words at home where you're cleaning your house and you're on your job have power, but they do. And so if we'll watch over the things that we say and we say his word, we'll see his word work in our life. So we're at the beginning here of a new year, so we're going to talk about the power of our words, but then where are our words taking us in 2021, right? I mean, as believers, we don't have to just have life left up to chance, right? We're just not at the whim of whatever happens in life. You know, we're not just waiting to see what the day brings. No, the day brings us what our word said it will. And at times you may face times of trial, but that's not where we're living. And if believers are living week after week and month after month and year after year in trial, there's something wrong with what they're saying and what they're believing. Amen. So God wants us to have a prosperous 2021. Not just prosperous in your checkbook, but prosperous in your love walk, prosperous in your marriage, prosperous in your health, prosperous with your kids. Every area of your life, he wants you to prosper. And when people hear the word prosperity, they think sometimes just of money. But how many of you know that's the least? Because you can have a boatload of money, but if your body's hurting, your marriage is on a line, and your kids are walking away from God, the money doesn't much matter. And so if we'll get our words working right, working for us, we will head the way God has for us. And I want you to know, you don't live to yourself, and you don't live for yourself. If you believe God called you here, and you believe this is your local church, that we're your pastors, then you also believe we're fitly joined together. That means what you do, whether you're here or not here, whether people know it or don't, it's affecting us. What you do in your personal life affects the strength of this local church. Remember, the Bible said we are fitly joined together, so your part affects my part. And, you know, we don't want to be disqualified from our part, right? I remember years ago, there was a woman here in the church, and she loved the children, and the kids loved her. And she was faithful to serve in the children's ministry. She loved to do it. The kids loved to see her. As a matter of fact, my kids would ask if she was going to be in there. And she was just, you know, lovely with the kids. But I noticed once she started serving in that department, it was like a beehive, you know. It started to, the murmur started to grow and it got more intense, you know. And so every week I had more and more complaints, you know, from the workers. And, you know, they disliked something and something wasn't right and they didn't agree with things. And I noticed that she was in there and she was talking negative about, you know, how things were run and the pastors and that. And so several times I talked to her, and it didn't get better, it got worse. And so I went to her and I said, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm going to have you step away from this. And she was very upset about it. But how many of you know one person can affect the rest of the church, right? One person affected that whole department. And once she was removed, it's amazing. Everybody was satisfied again about what was happening over there, you know? And so, you know, just one person having the wrong words affected everything else. And so think about that with your own words. What are you saying in the department where you serve? What are you saying about the people who you serve with? What are you saying about this local church? Don't be divisive. Use your words for God's plan, not the enemy's plan. So let's open here in 2 Corinthians 13. God wants to take us to a good place in 2021, but he doesn't just pick you up by the bootstraps and set you into a good place. You put you in a good place. Or if you're not in a good place, you put you in a not good place, right? 2 Corinthians 13, 1 says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And so we know that we have a voice and we are a witness. But also we know the enemy has a voice and he has a witness. And also God has a voice, not only through his word, but through what he speaks to your spirit. And so God is a witness. And we must decide what our words will witness with and who. Are we witnessing to what the enemy said, or are we witnessing to what God said? Because according to this scripture, whoever you witness with, it's established. So, you know, you start to feel symptoms upon your body and, you know, you're not feeling well all of a sudden and you see someone and they ask you how you are and the enemy started to tell you, you know, your body hurts, your throat is sore, you're getting sick. And, you know, you see this person and they ask you how you are and you go, you know, I think I'm getting sick. And what you just did was you witnessed to what the enemy said, and now it's established. So now you are sick. Where before, something was just trying to come upon you, but if you had refused it and rebuked it, you would have witnessed with God and wouldn't have had it. Because he said, by your stripes, you are healed, right? And so it matters what your words are agreeing with. Are you agreeing with the enemy, or are you agreeing with God? And we do that through our words. Amen. Let me share with you something else over here, if you will. I'd like to take you over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Our words matter. What we say matters. Remember Mark 11? I mean, that's probably the verse that we've heard the most, Mark 11, 23. He shall have whatsoever he wants. He shall have whatsoever he intended. He shall have whatsoever was in his heart. He shall have whatsoever he purposed. No, it doesn't say any of that. Mark 11, 23 says, you shall have what you say. So that means what you say is important and it matters. You're not going to have what you intended. You're not going to have what you desired. You're not going to have what's in this word unless you say what's in that word. Amen. So Philippians chapter 3, remember in the Old Testament, Abraham? And before he was Abraham, he was Abram, right? And we know God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And why did he change his name? He needed him to say something about what God wanted for his life to come to pass. And so we know this, Abraham meant the father of a multitude. And yet he had no children at that time when God told him that was his plan, right? And so many years pass and Abraham is not seeing this come to pass. Have you ever had a promise from God and it's been years and you didn't see it come to pass? And so just remember the adjustment is always on our side. So, I mean, if Abraham, the father of us all, right, needed to make an adjustment in faith in what he was saying, we may need to make an adjustment in what we're saying. I'm so glad he needed to make that adjustment. It makes me feel better, right? Like, if Abraham had to make an adjustment, it's okay that I needed to. And so, the father of a multitude, and here God changes his name to Abraham So every time his wife calls his name, every time his family, his servants, those around him call his name, they're saying, you are the father of a multitude. And so that had to be said in order for it to come to pass. And also we think about this. Remember Daniel. And remember when the Israelites, some of them were taken and they were brought into Babylon and they were taken captive. And so here Daniel is God's man and he's taken captive into Babylon. And what's the first thing that happens when Daniel gets to Babylon? What do? They rename him, right? Why do they rename him? Because what his name says means something. It has power. Now listen to this. The name Daniel means this: God is my judge. Do you think the enemy of God's people, working against his people, forcing them to serve and their, you know, for their service, that they're going to want every time his name is said, it means God is my judge? No. So the first thing they do is they change Daniel's name because his name is saying something. And remember his three friends, they changed their names too. And so what does that mean? What we say had power. What we say has an effect. What you say, as much as Abraham and Daniel, has an effect. So go over here to Philippians chapter 3. I need to get there myself. Philippians chapter 3. You believe your words have power? Oh, they sure do. And I want you to know this. Your words have power and change things and affect things, whether you believe it or not. Whether you intend your words to have an effect or not, and whether you're saved or not. Your words put your life on that course. And so Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Philippians 3:13. Did I tell you something else? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so let me help you here. This word press means this. You don't have to write it all down. Just listen. To pursue, to follow after. This is very interesting. To suffer persecution. You know, when you're pressing toward the mark, you're pressing toward God's plan, you're pressing toward his best, there's going to be some opposition to that, some persecution to that, you know? And we don't shrivel back at that. We know it's coming. It's fine. We run swiftly toward, we run in order to catch. Are you running in order to catch what God has for you, what his plan is, what his mark is for your life in 2021? To pursue in a hostile manner. That's pretty descriptive, right? And so when he says this, he says, press toward the mark. And so we're supposed to forget those things that are behind and press forward. Now we know this, that even nature itself testifies that we're to go forward, right? Do you drive your car backwards? No. Do you walk backwards? I mean, my kids do a lot, but I don't. You know, looking backwards, you don't write backwards. Everything we do in life is going forward, right? And so many times natural things parallel spiritual things. And do you think it's the will of God for you to go back? Maybe not back in something that you can count or something that you can tally, but back in your thought life. You know, sometimes believers come and they hear the word and they get excited about faith and they make changes. And then after a couple years, they start to go back a little bit. Back in what? Their thought life, in what they say, in their service to God. They forget what he has done for them. Right? And so don't go back in your thought life. Back to what? Past hurts, past mistakes, whether it's things someone did to you or you did to someone. You know, past hurts or failures or something you wanted you didn't get, a promotion, a job, whatever it is. Listen, even this morning before you got here, if you yelled at your kids, you had a disagreement with your wife or your spouse or something, You know, that's more likely to happen on a Sunday morning. I'm not sure you've experienced that, but I've been coming to church long enough to know that if there's going to be a discussion and, you know, intense fellowship, it shall be on Sunday morning. If everybody just didn't talk on Sunday morning until after church, life would be real good. And I exercise that myself, but I can't get the rest of my family in agreement with it. And so I will have to continue to meditate on love scriptures. You know, there's a reason Tim and I drive separate to places. He likes to talk a lot, and I don't like to talk a lot. And so sometimes if we're going to a service, you know, my senses are already heightened, and then he's talking, and it's more than I can handle, you know. But I love his talking, just not right then. And actually, that's one of the reasons I loved him when I met him, because I didn't want to talk and I didn't have much to say, and I would just sit there and listen to him. And so it made our dates real easy, you know. You need to find someone who's opposite of you. It's like you think you don't need that and want that, but you do, you know. And my favorite part is, I think he said it when we were with Sarah and Matt, that I talk more than him. No? We won't take a poll. My guess is no. And so what's in the past? What's behind? Whether it was this morning, an hour ago, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 10 years ago, your mind and the enemy wants you to live there. And he wants you to live in the past that didn't go how you wanted it to go. But God said, press toward the mark. And I was thinking about this even naturally. You know, we're running a spiritual race, but people who run a natural race, you know the number one thing that they know? Don't look back. Do you see Olympians who are running races looking back? No, because why? They have been at this long enough, they know whatever happens, do not look back. Because looking back always costs you, right? And let me share some natural things with you that may happen when you look back. In a race, this happens. Are you ready? It introduces an element of doubt in your own ability. It introduces it in your own mind, but also in those running with you. When you look back, there's something that you're unsure of. And sometimes when people look back, they're not totally convinced the blood of Jesus washed all that away. And when you look back, you're saying to him, Jesus, the washing of the blood was not enough for my past. You know, I'm still yet to find a scripture that said, Jesus goes into my past and fix it. He rearranges it, makes it work out okay, makes me feel better about it. No, he doesn't try to fix anything about your past. He washed it. Listen, it was so messed up, can't be fixed, just throw it out. You know, your kids bring you these toys in 20 parts and you're like, just buy a new one because there's no fixing this, right? And that's what he did for you and for me because we were pretty messed up before we got saved, right? Unless you were raised in the church and praise God for that, that's the best testimony. But I wasn't raised in the church. And so he doesn't go back to your past, whether it was an hour ago, a week ago, 10 years ago, and try and fix it. He just washed it. He just erased it. And you going back and revisiting that and rehearsing it and bringing it back up and thinking about it and telling people about it, you're saying the blood wasn't enough. I believe the blood was enough. Do you? He washed it. So when you look back, it introduces an element of doubt in your own ability. And this, it breaks your momentum going forward. You know, people have lost major races just not even looking fully back, just looking to the side. And it was enough that they may have lost by a hundredth of a second because they just simply looked around. No, 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 you don't need to know what anybody else is doing, how they're failing or not. You know, how they're passing, how they're running your race, you just run yours. And let me tell you, that includes your spouse. We don't micromanage how they're running their race. Are you running strong? Are you enduring well? Are you in the word enough? Are you in prayer enough? I don't micromanage my husband's spiritual life. It just discourages. It's never an encouragement. Now, if he asked me something, I might tell him. Or if we're having a discussion and he wanted to know something, I might say something, you know, along the lines of spiritual life or something I'm doing for my own. But it never blesses your spouse to try and fix their race, to try and fix how they're running. Listen, your job is keep your eyes on the finish line, keep your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on your own race. Don't even do one of these. Not even that. Not even. Don't even move your eyeballs. Right? My thought is just pretend you don't even see that, you know. I'm not talking about outward sin. You know what I mean, right? Because the temptation is, I could fix you. You know what they need, right? But let me tell you, if you think you could fix them and you know what they need, you need more help than they do. Because first you got to dig yourself out of that pride before you can even be helped. Don't ask me how I know. Remember, I've been married almost 18 years. I will say that. And you know how I stay married? Not looking at how he's running. Looking how I'm running. Because I got enough to do with my own form and keeping myself going the right direction. And so do you. If we're going over the past, we're wasting time. It's time that you're not being helped. It's time you're not pleasing God if you're looking to the past. You're only wasting time. His plan is only forward. Now, when we look back, we look to the side, we take a glance, we're also no longer running efficiently. Don't you want things in your house to run efficiently? You ever had a dishwasher mess up or a washing machine or something and it's no longer running efficiently? You ever had a dryer go and it used to take, you know, 30 minutes to dry a load and now it takes an hour and 30 minutes? Inefficiency is frustrating. And so I don't want to frustrate the grace of God, do you? You know that's a thing. You can frustrate his grace. How do you do that? Not running efficiently, right? Also this, when you look around, you look to the past, you look to the side, it distracts from the goal. It distracts from the goal. Now, when you're running, let's say you're running a natural race, and you look back, what are you looking to? You're looking to your opponent. So if you're not looking toward the finish line, you're looking on your opponent. No matter what you're looking at. What you're looking at isn't helping you. Also this, it creates drag. It will slow you down spiritually. We are not the Lord of anybody's life. My pastor, my husband tries very hard and is very purposeful about not lording over people's lives. He may know something that they need to adjust or something that needs changed or something that's very out of line, but he's going to let God tell that person. And I'll tell you why, because if he says it, the people sometimes get mad. But if God says it, you can't get mad at God, you know. This, if you look back, if you don't keep your eyes on the prize, it lets your competition know you're tired, right? You just tipped your hat to the competition when you looked back. You let them know you're not confident of where you're going. You're not confident of your own ability. You don't feel strong and sure. Listen, you act strong and sure whether you feel it or not. You know, I had an interesting week this week. My husband was at, which I did forget to mention, I wanted to tell you, he was at a ministry conference all week and he got back late the other night. And so he was taking the weekend off and he asked me to fill in. And it was an interesting week for me. You know, some things try and come against me. And you know what you do? You put your face on and you stay running your race. You keep your eyes on the prize. You don't tip your hat to the enemy and let him know he's getting something on you. No, I'm not looking around. I'm not looking back. I'm keeping my eyes on the prize. I don't care what comes up. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what you say. And we need to have that determination. Also this, people running look back, they bolster the confidence of those who are running against them. And it goes along with what we just said. But you want to have confidence in your ability to run your race. You don't want to give the enemy any sign that you're wavering, that you're weakening, that you might not make it, that you're unsure of what you're doing. Keep your eyes on the prize. What is the prize? Everything he promised you in here. And how will you get here? Keep looking at this. This is the finish line. This is the goal. This is where pressing toward the mark is. And so don't look around. Don't look back. If you have failed God for years, come to him, repent, and turn it around. You know, have you ever been going down the highway and you see somebody driving backwards? No, you don't see that because it's ridiculous. You know, nobody's that dumb, right? But we do that spiritually. It's like we're working against God. If you haven't been where he has you, if you know you're failing in your spiritual life, you know you're failing in your love walk, you know you're failing in your marriage, whatever it is, just repent and today begin to look forward, walk forward, and go toward the prize. Amen? Listen, aren't you thankful he is merciful and patient? He is always merciful and patient. If you've missed it 10 times or 20 times, he's still merciful and patient. He's not there wanting to beat you over the head with what you did. If you come and repent, he is there to meet you with his love, his open arms. Nothing is too hard for him. And so go over here with me to Joshua 1. We're going to see what 2021 can look like for us. 2021. Remember, your words are taking you somewhere. Let it be the finish line. No looking around. Just get his word in your mouth and run your race. Joshua 1:8. We have read this verse many times, but we need to believe this verse. Amen. What are you planning for 2021? Are you planning anything? Do you have a plan for your life? You know, people plan their money, you know, their retirements, their 401ks, all that kind of stuff. But what about your life? Your retirement means nothing if you don't get there to it, you know? And so what are we planning for 2021, for our own personal lives? And I want you to know this, your personal life affects the church life. Your personal life affects the body of Christ, this local church, this body of Christ. And Joshua 1:8 says this. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt make thy way, thou shalt have good success. So who determines if we're prosperous? We do. Who determines if we have good success? We do. So the opposite is true. What if you're not prosperous? What if you're not having success? When things are going good and people are prospering, oh, it was you, God, you helped me to do it. And when things are going bad, pastor did this, my spouse did that, God wasn't there for me. But this verse said, if you succeeded, it was you. If you didn't succeed, it was you. If you prospered, it was you. If you didn't prosper, it was you. And so we must realize the responsibility is with us. Human nature wants to pass the buck. It was somebody else's fault. It didn't come to pass. It was somebody else's fault. It didn't work out. But the Bible said it was you. Aren't you thankful and a little nervous? It lies with you. Just kidding. You know, I'm glad to know whether I prosper or not doesn't depend on my husband. No, it doesn't. God can, you know, God has prospered me and brought things to me, and it's blessed our whole family. And so whether you're prospering or have success depends on you. Now think about this. Here, Joshua, remember who Joshua was? He didn't just have a book in the Bible. Remember, he was Joshua and Caleb. And they were part of the spies that went to spy out the promised land, to come back and give a report about what the promised land looked like. And remember, Joshua and Caleb were the two who gave a good report. And they said, who cares about the giants in the land? Let's go up and possess it. We're well able to overcome. And so here now, Moses has been overseeing God's people, disobedient, you know, resistant for 40 years in the desert. And now Joshua is handed all these disobedient people. And here you go, bring them into the promised land. And so this is God telling Joshua, don't be discouraged. Don't worry. Don't be distracted. It's not a problem they haven't done the right thing for the past 40 years. If you'll just get my word in your mouth, it'll all succeed. It doesn't matter how many years it's been going the wrong direction. Just get his word in you and start saying it, and you'll succeed. And Joshua didn't just succeed. All those around him succeeded with him. Bring somebody with you into God's success. You know, prosperity, success, and I don't mean just money. I mean, you love your marriage. You love your spouse. You know, your kids are obedient. You know, you have a local church. Those things draw people. And so I want to ask you this. What are you planning for 2021? You know, we go on vacations or go places, and we spend lots of time planning these things. You know, I know people who have gone to Disney. We're not really a Disney family, but who have gone to Disney, and they'll spend hours a day on the phone planning their Disney vacation. And then you know what happens? Disney cancels a reservation, and you got to spend another 2 hours trying to get to another meal or another whatever. You know, you plan if you're going to fly, if you're going to drive. Do you need to have the grass cut while you're gone? Do you have the snow shoveled? You know, who's going to watch over your pets? And all kind of things. We plan more for vacation than our own life. Where do you want your life to go in 2021? You got to say where you want it to go. Let me give you some ideas. How about this? What do you want for your finances? You know, maybe you want to have all your bills paid on time in full. Maybe you want to have $1,000 in savings. You know, maybe you want to have a whole year's worth of bills in savings. Whatever your goal is, have something financial on your list. And remember, we saw at the beginning, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it's established. So get two or three scriptures. You know, don't make this list undoable. And can I make a suggestion? Start with the thing you're most failing in right now. Bring that to the top of the list. And I will be very honest with you. I will bare my soul. Mine is my personality. Because Tim is just very naturally likable, right? So it makes me look more unlikable. But I'm not. On the inside, I feel really nice. You know, I love people and I believe the best of them. But your face has to show it. You know, like we always hear, we're not the frozen chosen. You know, put a smile on your face. Be happy about being a Christian. And so I always believe something for my own personality, for my sake and yours. Let me share with you just a couple scriptures for that because it could help you. James chapter 3. These are things I'm saying for myself, other things as well. But what about your own personality? Are you critical of people? Are you judgmental of people? Remember Matthew 7:1 said, judge not that you be not judged. Don't ask me how many years I confessed that for myself and meditated in that to not be judgmental. I don't take a thought about what anybody does. I really don't. James chapter 3, verse 17. This is what I say for myself. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So I write that scripture down and I say this, I thank you, Lord, I am pure and peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now Jesus can come. You know? What about this? 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is another one I confess for myself. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Do you have even one thing about your own personality that's not palatable? Find a scripture or two. I promise you it's in there. God knew we were going to need a witness on this. You know, there's here at the back of my Bible, I don't know if you have it, but there I have a Bible dictionary, but I also have a concordance, and it's alphabetical. And if I just look up that thing I really don't like in myself, there's a list of things I can write down. And if there isn't, go ahead and Google it. You know, I saw this bag. It was just like a, you know, like a bag you'd use at the grocery store. You know, have to use canvas bags and stuff now. And it said that, kids, just remember, your parents passed school without Google. You know, remember when Encyclopedia Britannica guy came to your house? We had this hutch in our dining room, and the whole bottom of it was all these encyclopedias and stuff. And it was like, you know, you had to do these projects, and you're a kid. You don't know. You're fumbling through all these books. And now kids can just Google the question, and 20 answers come up, you know. And so we're smarter than the kids. I believe that, you know. I had to look it up. They don't even know how to use a library. Remember the Dewey Decimal System? It was like, that book wasn't there, you know. And so that has to do with absolutely nothing in my message. But anyhow, 1 Timothy chapter 6. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, the things listed above, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So I write this down and I say for myself, Father, I thank you that I follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. We could all use a little patience, all use a little love, all use a little meekness, right? So find what it is that's bothersome in your personality and say something about it, you know, and in a year there might be a little bit of adjustment, right? What about this? What about your prayer life? You know, are you purposing to spend time with him, to fellowship with him? You know, there's many, many scriptures about, I will set myself upon the watch. I will watch and pray. Write two down and purpose to do that with him. If it helps you to put a time limit there, you can, but you don't have to. But just maybe even, I'm going to do it every day. Let's just start with that. What about this? Not complaining. Remember, I think it's Psalm 77:3, and it says, when I complained, my spirit was overwhelmed. And so that's one thing I don't tolerate in my house. And listen, kids want to complain about everything, right? I don't like these peas. I don't want to wear that shirt, da-da-da-da-da, right? And so don't let it become a habit in your household. Don't let it become a habit in you. You know, are you critical and judgmental of people in the body of Christ? Is there someone that you just, you know, they aggravate you and they get on your nerve and you let people know that? We need to fix that. And so we can meditate in love scriptures. We all need more of that. What about this? What about your marriage? What are you saying about your marriage? You know, are you purposing, hey, we're going to have one date night a month. Or maybe you're able to do two. You know, you have grandparents around to watch kids or something. We're going to have two date nights a month. Maybe you haven't been together for a weekend in several years. This year, no matter what, we're going away for a weekend together. Your marriage matters. It matters to me, it matters to God, it matters to the local church, and it matters to your kids. Now think about this. You know when you leave here, so it's real easy to amen when you're in a service. That yes, we should forget our past, we know, and be happy about it, but when you leave here, there's going to be thoughts come up again about what you didn't do, how you're falling short, who hurt you, all of these things. And here's what I say, and may it help you. Devil, I distinctly remember forgetting that. That's all you got to say, and then you move on. And 5 minutes later, when he reminds you again, devil, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Because what happens is that thought comes, and we mull it over in our mind, and next thing you know, we're talking about it again. And we're acting funny towards somebody who hurt us, and it was 5 years ago. You know? And so, devil, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Forget your past. Forget it. God said the only thing it was worthy of being washed in the blood. Amen. So it no longer belongs to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your word, that we can put your word in our mouth and see a change in our lives in 2021. Father, we thank you. It's not a hard life. It's not a hard job. It's not hard. It's easy to put your word in our mouth. Father, we thank you. We came to Jesus. We came to eternal life, putting your word in our mouth. And if there's any here today and you're unsure, if you were to pass from this life, that you would spend eternity with him, we are here as believers to pray with you. God is waiting with open arms to receive you as his child. And so I ask, if there's anyone here and you're unsure if you were to pass from this life, if you would go to heaven, I just ask you to raise your hand and we will all pray with you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that would like to pray that prayer? You're unsure? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anyone else that would like to pray the prayer of salvation and ask Jesus into their heart? Okay. Is there anyone that would like to rededicate their life? That you say, I have not been walking with God how I could and how I should and how I've wanted to. Maybe it's responsibilities or a trial that's come against you that has prevented that, but you'd like to rededicate your life today. I see that hand. I see those hands. You can put them down. I see those hands. God sees your heart, and he's going to help you today. So pray this prayer after me. Dear Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe he was sent to wash my sins, and now I take Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. And dear Father, I thank you that even though I've made mistakes, your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness are here to meet me. I thank you now that I'm washed of those sins. In Jesus' name, amen. So see, now we're all clean. Church is clean. Everybody's saved. Everybody going the right direction. Now we can just go home. Keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. So stand to your feet with me, if you will. Don't forget to come back here next Sunday. Pastor will be back in the pulpit next Sunday. He's going to continue on with some of the sermons he's been preaching. And you never want to miss the week after he's been at a conference, right? He's loaded for bear. So let's worship him. Father, we thank you for your word. We honor and glorify you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed. And the ushers will take the offering at the door, and the ushers can take the offering in the parking lot. You're dismissed.